I was not the easiest of children. I suspect that comes as no surprise to any of you. I was a challenge to my mother on a regular basis. I often did things that were out of the realm of the ordinary and problematic, like turning a perfectly good pillowcase into a dress by cutting holes in it and by decorating it with dots of Mercure Chrome. Because I had read a story about a little girl who did that. There was the time that I developed an aversion to tomatoes when the week before that I had absolutely loved them. There was the time when I hid my Easter chocolate bunny under the easy chair in the den where the TV was, just so it would be easily accessed when I wanted to watch the Saturday morning cartoons. Whenever I did things like this, my mother would shake her head and repeat the phrase that was both mantra and prayer, both hope and despair. She would roll her eyes heavenwards and mutter, "Give me strength." You can picture her saying that, Doug, can't you? Give me strength. Don't we all say that aloud or in our hearts when we're faced with a recalcitrant child or with a recalcitrant adult, with a hard task or people that are difficult to deal with? Give me strength. Give me what I need to get through this. Give me the energy to overcome or just to survive. Give me what I need to face that which is in front of me right now. And the implied preface to this prayer is this: you gave me this, Lord, so give me the strength to deal with it. More often than we care to admit, we're in a position where we feel overwhelmed and incapable of responding to our situation, and we call upon God to help us through it. In the religion business, we call this intercessory prayer. It's very common. Give me help. Give me strength. Help, God. Give me a hand. It's part of the human condition, isn't it? If you, like my mother, have ever uttered that prayer, then Isaiah's words, those words that Stacy read a few moments ago, will hit home for you. Okay, here's the scene. Isaiah is, we know, a prophet, but the prophecy business is not going all that well. The people of Israel are not having that good of a time of it either. They are a defeated nation, crushed by the Babylonian Empire. Most of them are scattered everywhere from Mesopotamia to Egypt and back again. There are a few still back in Jerusalem, but not many. Their temple, the beating heart of their worship life, is a pile of rubble. God has told Isaiah that there is a job to do here, to tell the people that things are going to get better, that they will once again be gathered together, that they will no longer be in captivity, that there will be a resurgence of good fortune after the dark days of Babylon. And so Isaiah gets to work, shouting out his message. Listen to me, O coastlands! Pay attention, you people from far away! If it were an email, it would all be in capital letters. Isaiah, chosen as a prophet by God, given words by God when the angel pressed a burning coal to his lips, words that were beautiful once he got past that initial ouch. Isaiah, sent out to proclaim God's plans to God's people. Isaiah, the bearer of God's message. But now, he seems to be having a moment of self-doubt in the task that faces him. He says, "I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Give me strength." Give me strength. And something strange happens. God, instead of saying, You're just tired. Have a bowl of chicken soup, get a good night's sleep, you'll be fine. Instead, ups the ante. God says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. In other words, Isaiah, it's not only your job to gather back the dispersed and depressed peoples of Israel and restore the nation by the words that I've given you, you're now also responsible for shining a light that will transform all the nations, including all those Gentiles out there, to the end of the earth. God says that his initial mission is too light a task. It's trivial. It's too simple. It's too easy. There's a larger opportunity ahead, and God wants Isaiah to take advantage of that opportunity. Beware when your boss says, I have a more interesting opportunity for you. Can you imagine Isaiah hearing that and saying, you've got to be kidding. Give me strength. One might say that God is a cruel God, hitting Isaiah when he's down. And yet there's more to the story. God knows that Isaiah is in tough shape. The prophet refers to a Lord who is coming, who would be one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. But in fact, as Isaiah is feeling the same way himself, he is feeling despised and abhorred. But God promises something. God is and will remain faithful, both to Isaiah and to the people of Israel. And implicit in that promise is that God's faithfulness, God's fidelity, not human fidelity, God's fidelity, means that God is always standing beside the prophet. God will give Isaiah and the people of Israel strength. Strength to endure the completion of the term of exile, strength to get back home, strength to rebuild the nation, and now with this additional command from God, strength to reach beyond the limits of Israel, to be a light to the whole world. Which leads to the inevitable question, when we talk about strength, what exactly do we mean? When Isaiah laments how his strength has been depleted, he uses a Hebrew word called koah, which has the sense of physical strength and vigor. You knew I was gone taking a class in Old Testament. I'd come back and make you do a Hebrew word study. We're at that point. Koah. It's used to talk about a man's strength, like his mojo. And Isaiah feels like he's lost his mojo. But in the very next verse, when Isaiah says that God will be his strength, he uses an entirely different word for strength, oz. Just the sound of it, oz. Sounds different, doesn't it? It's about might, it's about power, it's about God's strength. It's not just that God gives back Isaiah some of his own energy, his own mojo. He supplants it with something entirely different. God energy. It's sort of like if Isaiah's strength is, 83 octane gas out of the pump. God energy is aviation fuel, avgas, or maybe even nuclear energy. It's got that much to it. God's energy, God's strength, that's what we hear about in Paul's epistle as well. God's strength has fortified Paul through all the ups and downs of his missionary journeys. And now he's writing to one of the faith communities that he founded, the one in Corinth. And it's a community where people place a lot of emphasis on who has what kind of gift or spiritual gift or talent. And that's led to something of a pecking order. If you've got this spiritual gift, you're much more prestigious than someone who has that spiritual gift. Doesn't sound very godly, does it? And I can imagine that Paul's reaction when he hears about what's going on in Corinth, this pecking order business, was to raise his eyes heavenwards and mutter, "I thought I had these people on message, but now they've done something stupid with it. Give me strength." But what kind of strength do these people in Corinth claim in their silly, "mine is better than yours" tiff? Is it us? That godly strength that has the power to transform not just one community in one city, but to transform the world? Or is it koa, the strength that we frail humans have, a strength that is about pride, or proving oneself, or worldly measures of success, a strength that, by the way, is all too easily depleted, as we know ourselves? In the beginning of this letter to the Corinthians, Paul says something very interesting, and he masks it in a compliment. Paul's a very diplomatic guy when he chooses to be. He compliments the Corinthians on how they have developed their spiritual gifts, but the real key here is that they have achieved that not through anything that they've done themselves. They haven't pumped themselves up spiritually so that they're very muscular. No, this is because God has given them the strength through his grace. In the words of another rather infamous phrase, he says to them, "You didn't build this. You didn't build this by your own strength. God did. You didn't make yourself spiritual. God gave you the grace and the strength to have these spiritual gifts." He's saying God gave you God's oz, God's strength, God's mojo, because your koa, your human strength, was not going to be the source of those spiritual gifts. To do God's work, you get God's strength through God's grace. There and there alone. In a funny way, that message echoing from the 6th century before Christ through Paul in the 1st century after the birth of Christ to today should be a comfort to us. Now I know you're scratching your heads. What's this about? The key is that muttered, "Give me strength." If we remember that what will help us is not something we can manufacture ourselves, that it is not human strength that is the starting point. If we remember that God can and does give us God's own strength as a free gift of grace, if we remember that God's strength is limitless and an offering of love from the one who created us, then we know something marvelous. It's not all on us. We're not solely responsible for pulling together the energy to fix everything. We are not the ones who have to manufacture every idea to solve every problem. We are not the only ones who have to tackle awful situations, because we're not the only ones, each of us individual human beings, who have access to that fuel pump of God's strength. We are not struggling alone. There are others who are plugged into it as well. The people of Israel dispersed across the Babylonian Empire did not have to pull together one by one. Each far-flung Israelite did not have to put the whole of God's people together again. All they had to do was for each of them to feel God's strength drawing them together. Isaiah, God's prophet, frustrated and wondering if he was equal to the task, remembered that he did not have to rebuild Israel all by himself. He had a pipeline to God's strength, to be sure, but so did all the other faithful followers of the one true God, because they had access to the same pipeline. Paul did not have to convert every Gentile in the known world personally, despite the strength he received from God to do it. He could rely on missionary partners like Sosthenes, and even those wayward Corinthians, and the Romans, and the Hebrews, and the Colossians, and the Philippians, go down the list. All of them had access to the same pipeline. John didn't have to be the only one around spreading the good news that Jesus was the Lamb of God, as we heard in today's gospel. Even though he wrote a whole book about Jesus and his story, he had the gift of God's strength in him, and then he suggested that others, like Andrew and Simon Peter, feel God's strength within them so that they too could share the word. The same thing is true for each of us. I suspect that many of us feel like we have no way of being a light to the nations, of sharing the good news, of bringing together those who don't know God's love or who have forgotten it. We wonder if we have the strength to do anything like this. And if we're talking about that human koa strength, it's probably an accurate assessment. We'll run out of that low-octane fuel pretty quickly because we usually get about 9 miles to the gallon, right? We'll feel depleted. And in that moment, we may say, give me strength. Give me strength to do whatever you have set before me, God. Give me strength. And that high-octane av gas will fill us, and it will fill up others who are also meant to do the work that we are sharing. And we'll feel that us strength, that God strength, that power that doesn't deplete, that takes us through the whole journey in partnership with God the Source and with our friends and partners in the work that God expects of us, those other recipients of that strength. So let your prayer be this. Give me strength. Give me strength for the work that you have called me to do. Give me partners in the work who feel that strength too. Give me strength, O God, in your faithful encouragement and love, an occasional kick in the pants, and the challenge to do more. Give me strength, O God. Give me strength. Amen.